Morning, Buzz. Did you have the Broncos and the Dolphins top of the comp after round three? Did anybody?
No. Unbelievable, isn't it? Incredible story, those two clubs. And we've got the Broncos here to talk about. $21 into $8 to win the comp. And anyone who has watched them in this first 3 weeks of the competition would think that that's not unrealistic to suggest that they could even be there on grand final day, although there's such a long way to go, mate. But I tell you what I loved about the weekend, suburban ground, rugby league, traditional atmosphere in Sydney, that great crowd at Manly on a Thursday night, the packed hill at Brookie, and then just a wonderful day in the heat, despite the heat at Belmore yesterday. Isn't it great rugby league in at these venues? And you know what? I am struggling to recall a more exciting, enthralling start to an NRL season. There's been very few blowouts, if any, and there's so much to talk about, isn't there? Every Monday morning, every day of the week with rugby league.
Yeah, yes, it's certainly right, Buzz. I just want to go back with the Broncos, because I had them out of my top eight, and then I quickly put them in my top eight. Last week, I said, well, I can't leave this team out. And I'm starting to think, Buzz, when I look at this team and how much improvement they have in them, I think they are a genuine contender to win this year's comp, where I never thought that 3 weeks ago, well, before the start of the year.
I not only had them out of my top eight, I had Kevin Walters grouped in with the Griffins and the other coaches, O'Brien in Newcastle, as being under pressure this year.
Mm.
And yet the reason he was probably under pressure, because there was backlash from players and a couple of players and who made comments on podcasts about his coaching. And look, the thing I like about Kevy and the way he's assembled this outstanding football side is that he has delegated so much to his halfback Adam Reynolds to run this football team. And some of the stuff I've seen from Reynolds in recent weeks, as much as he was a superstar halfback at South, I think we've seen some up there with his career best football in recent weeks. He is just, and I was worried about him. I was worried about his ability to turn up every week with his old body that's been around for a long time and compete week in, week out at this level. But with the old fella leading at halfback, and Staggs and Farnsworth and Arthur and Mam and Reece Walsh, then you got arguably two of the best middles in the comp, Payne Haas, Pat Carrigan. They're a serious, serious football side, and they're definitely capable of doing what the Cowboys did last year and finishing, you know, in the Cronulla for the minor premiership.
What's your take on Parramatta, Buzz? Because they seem the opposite to the Broncos at the moment.
Yeah, Clarkie, I had another look at Parramatta, and their losses haven't been alarming.
Yeah.
They lost by 4 to Storm week one, then 4 to Sharks, another 4 points to Manly.
Yeah.
But you've got to be winning football games this time of the year to be get yourself in a position to make the top four, or you can't win the comp. The thing is with Parramatta, I think as this season goes on, we're going to be talking about the biggest recruitment blunder in quite some time, and that was allowing Reed Marnie to leave last season and join the Canterbury Bulldogs. I think if they'd found another 100K, they probably would have kept him, another 150K. In defence of Parramatta, you then think, look, they've got to struggle and they keep having to... Would they have lost Dylan Brown? Will they lose Mitchell Moses if they'd gone over the top for Reed? But I think he's shown, as at Canterbury, there's a really elite player. You know, I think pressure is building at Parramatta. And they've got this massive game against Penrith this weekend, and it's going to answer a lot of questions. I do, guys, want to defend Ryan Madison. He's come under enormous criticism for electing not to pay the fine last year and miss the first three games of the competition. Well, I'm pretty dirty about the circumstances of that. Parramatta were given 48 hours after the grand final to make a decision on what he was going to do. Now, like all grand final losing teams, they get on the drink for 2 or 3 days. And Ryan Madison didn't have a clear head when he said, bugger the NRL, I'm sick of paying fines, I'm going to take the... They can get stuffed, I'll miss the first three games. Now, when he... I'm not... Can I say sobered up? Mm. Or when he came clear on his senses, Parramatta immediately went to the NRL. This is late. This is last year, not long after the grand final. Said, look, he wants to change his mind. They wouldn't let him. And I just think there were circumstances there where he wasn't in a clear position to make a decision. What do you think of that, guy?
I've said it all the way through, Buzz.
Yeah, Loz has said the same. Loz has tried to explain because, I, my brain, no matter what position I'm in, I think because the fine was... Compared to three games, the fine was so minimal at $4,000, I don't think you're ever thinking anything else apart from paying the fine. But then Loz has explained it a little bit like you just did, Buzz. Situation, when he was asked, just lost the grand final, frustrated with whatever, then it obviously makes a lot more sense why he's just said, mate, whatever, three games, get on with it, and then wanted to change
3 days later, his decision, you come to your senses. Because
you can understand that.
And he did. There was no opportunity for him to really weigh it up.
I wonder why, Buzz, they didn't accept that as well, the NRL. Like, it wasn't like he waited 2 months to change his decision. I wonder why he didn't get that chance to make that change there and then.
Well, I think the NRL was probably reluctant to set a precedent and allow this to happen on a more regular basis. Mm. But, look, I think he had a pretty decent argument to change his decision. He hadn't had an opportunity to sit down with Jim Sarantinis, their chief executive, or Brad Arthur. And, look, he's been painted in a bad light, and on face value it is poor that he chose three games over, $4,500? But if he had his time again, and, look, he's a very good football player. I don't think it's too late for Parramatta this season, but they've got to open their account this weekend against the Panthers. I think they're an outside chance of doing that, but look, it's going to be hard. They've got Penrith fresh. Penrith had the weekend off, you know. And it's a big, big weekend in Sydney's heat to have off. It's a really important round to get a bye because, you know, the players aren't going through what the other 16 clubs did.
I shouldn't laugh. What do you make of the Tigers?
No, don't look this way while you laugh as well, mate.
No, well, I tried to defend them last week.
I know. You can't now.
Well, what can I do this
week? We're running out of excuses.
Buzz, I'm going to say you were right last week.
you're captain coach of defending Tim Sherwood.
And I will continue to defend him. It's the players' fault.
Well, I've got news for you, Laurie. I just logged on to the TAB website and I called up NRL Futures and I looked at the Wooden Spoon / most losses market.
Their favourites.
And the West Tigers are now $2.80 favourites to win the Wooden Spoon.
Again.
Ahead of Newcastle at $3.50. Now, the West Tigers, they could have nearly banked they could have won against the Titans, the Knights, the Dogs. They had the dream start to the season. The only thing working against them was a new coaching staff, players getting used to that, and a lot of key new players. The reason they're at $2.80, if you look at their draw the next 5 weeks, they've got Storm, Broncos, Parramatta, Manly, Panthers. So if they can't knock off those first three teams, how on earth are they going to compete against those guys? If they can play like they did in that 10-minute patch towards the end yesterday, I guess that was where there was some promise. I think they might have found their halves combination in Brooks and Brandon Wakeham, the way they combined yesterday with Dewey at fullback, or Dewey could go to centres. I was encouraged that Clemmer made 180 metres in that heat. That was he was just tireless yesterday. So there were some positives, but at the end of the day, you can't judge them on that 10 minutes. You judge them on 80 minutes. And until they came good at the end, they were woeful. They were really, really woeful. And we do have to question whether the Tim Sheens, Benji Marshall, Robbie Farah situation is working. I said on NRL 360 last week, there are situations where you can have too many chefs in the kitchen, that too many are trying to do the same job, and there's confusion amongst the players, there's mixed messages amongst the players. But again, I guess they deserve more time because there's so many new players there. Would you agree?
I agree. I just got frustrated yesterday, Buzz, because I saw that performance in the first 60 minutes and I'm going, wow. And then you see a 10-minute spurt, and I don't know why or how it happened, but they looked a different football team. And then I want to believe that that is what we're going to see moving forward from the Tigers. And if I trusted that, I think they'll win games. But how do you trust that they're going to play like that for a sustained period of time?
I'm worried they're going to get Storm on the rebound this week in Melbourne.
Well, mate, the Storm aren't going great. They were all
It'll be interesting if Munster comes back. I'm not sure if he will, but we'll get onto that one early in the week because they need him, don't they?
Oh, they do. I'll tell you the clash I'm looking forward to this weekend. Two superstars going up against each other.
Yeah, look, I've done my Monday column, Latrell Mitchell versus Tom Turbo. And this is dead set box office rugby league. They are two sensation. And you know what? It's been 5 years since July 2018 since these two played each other because they both have injury problems along the way. And I think James Tedesco is probably the best fullback in rugby league on what he's done the last couple of years. But with these two, apart from being great, great fullbacks, they are great personalities and they just click turnstiles. They get people. I like Steve Crawley's quote in the column that even people with just a faint interest in rugby league will switch this game on just to watch these two champions. I love how Latrell talks about those two, the words he uses, how about those two playing centres for New South Wales this year and how scared Queensland will get. I spoke to Gary Jack, the Balmain Tigers legendary fullback, and I said, Jimmy, if you had a salary cap, what would you do if you could sign Latrell or Turbo? Which one would you take? And I loved his response. He said, I'd cut other blokes and take them both. And it's just a sensational matchup. And you know what? They're two great role models. And it's funny, we talk about role models and people say, how can you call Latrell? He got in a stink with Jack White and he got charged, he got arrested. But what this fella has done for Indigenous kids and people across this country, what Latrell has done to stand up to racial abuse at Penrith recently, online trolls. And what Tommy Turbo does in local junior rugby league in Manly, he goes back to his old club, Mona Vale Raiders, who run the water bottle, who talk to the kids, who do selfies all day. And it's just a clash that rugby league should celebrate. And I'm sure on Saturday night at Acol Stadium, we're going to see one hell of a battle.
Buzz, now, this is your chance, Loz. You beat Buzz's Sharks last night.
I wasn't going to mention it, but now that you've brought it up. Hey, Buzz, what happened to your mob, mate? You're only going one from three? Is that right, Sharkies? One from three?
Aren't we due to go to the 7:30 news?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Braden Trindle, I know Nicho Hynes is going to come back into that team, but I'll tell you what, he's a first grader every day of the week. They've got to keep him in the squad somewhere.
Yeah, you know how we had to look hard to find a positive at West Tigers. Well, it's the same situation with the Cronulla Sharks. I think they've been pretty disappointing yesterday. But as you said, that 40-20 he kicked was nearly a 40-10. And it was one of the best I've ever seen. It was a fantastic kick. Look, the Sharks are struggling. There's no question that, Braden Trindle will go back to the bench and play in the 14 jersey. Mm. And the great news for the club is that Nicho Hynes is back this week and it can't happen soon enough for the Sharks. It's funny we bag these teams, but you do have to give credit to the opposition. And Canberra Raiders yesterday, they lost their hooker, Danny Levi, with a broken jaw very early on. Another serious injury I just hate seeing. They had lost their first two games of the season in the Heat in Queensland. They lost to the Titans on the Gold Coast and in Townsville to the Cowboys. They had another scorcher yesterday, 34 degrees, and Ricky Stewart found something at training to get them up again, and they played terrific. But as much as the Sharks were disappointing, and they've got to start winning. They've only got one from three, and they were tied. A lot of us had up very high in the final, so interesting.
Thanks so much, Buzz.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good week.